Thanks, Jason. It's good to hear the kids having a good time upstairs, isn't it? It's good to hear Beck having a good time upstairs too. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this day, this cool start and the sun shining outside, which leads us to believe that a beautiful day is ours to behold. And we thank you, Lord, that you hold all things in your hand, past, present, and future. And Lord, as we come to Daniel chapter 12, we ask that you would help us to understand it. Help us to see the things that are ours to behold. Help us to trust you for the things that are left hidden. Help us to be people who continue to trust you for all things, both past, present, and future. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. A student in Bible school, and it wasn't me, but a student in Bible school was confused when his theology professor began with a series of lectures on biblical prophecy, and in particular, eschatology, or the study of end times. And particularly looking at the book of Revelation, but also Daniel as well, the professor spoke about premillennialism, amillennialism, postmillennialism, and you can't even say it. And then he talked about a pre-trib rapture and a post-trib rapture and a mid-trib rapture, and views of the rapture of the church. And it was more than the student could take. And so one day he sat down in his chair and he said, "IAK, I am confused." And the professor said, "Confused doesn't start with a K." The student said, "Well, that's how confused I am." You might be sitting there a little bit this morning and thinking, "IAK as well." We're coming to a close in our time in Daniel, and the last few chapters have been a bit of a hard slog. Chapters 7 through to 12 are a little hard to understand. And aside from getting sick this week, these chapters have needed a lot of reading and reading again of just the chapter, but then also reading and reading again of commentaries and books to try and understand these chapters. But then there's also the getting up and delivering a message and formulating it so that it's comprehensible for you. But if you're anything like me, there's a few things that have raised questions and they've been somewhat left unanswered. There's been some questions that I know will be left unanswered until Jesus returns. Daniel was confused just like you and I are. He was confused by the things that were revealed to him, and he had a number of questions unanswered. But he still trusted God for things both past, present, and future. So let's not be discouraged. Daniel has and is teaching us what it is like to live faithfully as God's people in a hostile world. That's better. So let's dive into this final chapter. As I said through Aaron last week, the start of this chapter speaks about deliverance for the people of God. That's what I closed with, and that's what Aaron closed with. But specifically, it was deliverance for Daniel and his people from the time of the Gentiles. It wasn't deliverance for Daniel personally, but for the nation of Israel. And the angel of the Lord is helping him see further beyond to the time that is also future for us as well. Have a look again at verses 1 and 2 with me. "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as has never been seen since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So the first thing that the angel speaks of, firstly, is a time of trouble. A time of trouble for the people of Israel, like never has been seen before. I struggled with the reading of that little part too, Jason. But the book of Revelation, Daniel points us forward ahead in time, and the book of Revelation also speaks of a time of trouble for the church. This time of trouble where the Antichrist would rise to power and reign over the earth, and it would bring a great trouble on the people of God worldwide. This will be a time of great persecution on the church. There will be incredible loss of life. There will be imprisonments, torture, beheadings even. All for the purpose of getting people to try and denounce or disown their faith. It was the same sort of time of trouble that Daniel was being spoken or being thought shown that was coming in the future for him and the people of Israel as well. And now this time of trouble that's future for us will not be a time that any of us will want to live through. This persecution and tribulation will be so intense that it will cause many to turn away from God. When will this time of trouble or time of tribulation occur? I'm not sure, but it's definitely in the future for us. I haven't studied Revelation well enough to make an informed decision of what exact time this coming time of trouble is coming. And there are others that have studied it better than I have, and they can give us a better idea, but even among them, there's still a huge amount of debate. And again, is the rapture of the church before this time of trouble, or after, or in the middle? I don't know. That's why it's so hard to definitively know what will happen. But God tells us one thing through Daniel and through Revelation is that this time of great tribulation is something to be prepared for. It doesn't give us a definite answer of when it will come and what it will look like, but we know that we need to be prepared for it. Just as we cannot know what the exact time of deliverance, when the exact time of deliverance will occur as well. So the next promise that Daniel receives from the angel in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, is this promise of deliverance. I went ahead one too many slides. The second half of verse 1 says, "But at that time your people shall be delivered. Anyone whose name shall be found written in the book." And so that's one thing that we can be assured of. This time of trouble will come, but also this time of deliverance will come. Whether that's the rapture or whether that's we die and go to be with Jesus for eternity, then that's our deliverance. The only way that we can be prepared for a time of tribulation and a time of deliverance is making sure that our name is written in the book that this angel speaks of. And the only way to make sure that our name is written in the book of truth, as it's referred to, is to make sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. By confessing your sin and acknowledging your need for Him, professing Him as Lord, it's the only way to know with full assurance that this time of deliverance will include you. there is no other name by which we can be saved under heaven. And so whether we die before this time of trouble and tribulation or this time of deliverance, or whether we see it in our lifetime, the most important thing is to have faith in Jesus as the author of deliverance. Study in eschatology, study in end times, study in Revelation and Daniel won't get you delivered. It's a good thing, but it won't see you have your name in the book of life. A good standing in society won't see you be delivered at this time of deliverance. Money in the bank won't get you delivered. The only thing that helps us see this time of deliverance or receive this time of deliverance is faith in Jesus. Anyone who wants everlasting life or anyone who wants to be delivered must first go to the cross. And this is where we see our complete depravity and the cost of the forgiveness of our sins. This is where we see God's love displayed. But because of this, there's also a time of coming judgment as well. This is what the angel speaks about in verse 2. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So for those who are delivered by Jesus, by faith in Jesus, they will receive their eternal life, a gift of everlasting life with God for eternity in His presence. Completely undeserved and based on His grace and not our merit or ability or money in the bank or social standing or anything else. Revelation again gives us an image of what this eternity will look like. This new heaven and new earth where everything is completely restored to its original position before sin entered the world. I don't know about you, but that's something that I'm looking forward to seeing. An earth with completely free from corruption, completely free from disease, sickness, completely free from death, from catastrophic weather events. Revelation gives us this image of streets paved with gold. Now, we use bitumen to pave our roads, but in God's heaven and earth, He uses the most valuable thing that we have in this earth to pave the roads. Isn't that an image of what it's going to look like? Oceans like glass. And Jesus being with us in person for all eternity, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But the alternative for those who don't recognize Jesus as their Lord is an eternity of shame and everlasting contempt. Jesus says that this physical place will have weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the complete opposite image of the place where those who go to everlasting life will go, where everything is perfect, where everything is peaceful. In comparison, there's nothing pleasant about this place. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. At this time when Jesus returns, there will be the judgment of all mankind, both living and dead. The dead will rise and some will go to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt and shame. And the same separation will happen to those who are alive at that time. Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame and contempt. This is why it's so important for us to heed the word of God for ourselves, but also to proclaim the word of God for those around us, that they need to place their faith and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Now, are you anything like me? Are you waiting for this time of deliverance and... There it is. Are you waiting for this time of deliverance and judgment and into eternity with great anticipation? Are you like the person on the edge of the stream in verses 5 and 6 that says, how long will it be? So Daniel says in verse 5, I looked and behold, two others stood on one bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So how long will it be, O Lord, before you return? How long will it be before everything is set right, before judgment is made, before corruption is brought to an end? How long will it be? Nobody knows. I don't know when Jesus will return. Nobody knows when Jesus will return. Not even Jesus himself. But I do know that today we are one day closer to Jesus returning, to the forgiveness that he brings and the everlasting life that will be ours in his name. And so it's more important than ever to be more intentional about speaking about Jesus and the forgiveness that he brings. Let's not get distracted by dates and signs and wonders and studying Daniel down to the nth detail. Let's be instead declaring the word of God to those around us that they need Jesus, that he came to bring forgiveness and new life, and that people should come to him and put their faith in him. I believe that this is the mission of the church, not just for this day, but it has been the mission of the church for many days prior, and it will be the mission of the church many days into the future. This is also the mission of each one of us here as well, to share the love of Jesus with those around us so that they might come to faith in him and receive eternal life. So I just want to do in a way of closing this morning, I just want to run through what we've learnt from Daniel, from our 12 weeks in Daniel. We've seen that Daniel has shown us how to be devoted to God with every aspect of your life, including what you eat. Daniel wasn't prepared to deny his devotion by eating the things that was given to him from the people of Babylon. And so his devotion included every aspect of his life. But Daniel chapter 2 showed us how to seek God even when your life is in danger. The king had a dream and he was asking for an interpretation from his wise men and his magicians, and Daniel and his associates were included in that, and they were in danger of losing their lives. But instead, they calmly called a prayer meeting and asked to seek mercy from God. Daniel chapter 3, we saw Daniel's companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Thank you to the peanut gallery. we saw that Daniel's companions showed us that our worship is reserved for God alone. When King Nebuchadnezzar set up his golden statue and said that everyone should worship him, they stood firm, even when their lives were in danger. They stood firm, even in the fire, and they stood firm while Jesus was with them in the fire. Daniel chapter 4 showed us that it is the Lord who establishes kings and kingdoms. It is not King Nebuchadnezzar. It is not the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Australia. It is the Lord who establishes kings and kingdoms. And Daniel chapter 5 showed us that God numbers our days and we are accountable to Him. Daniel 6 again shows us that even when prayer and worship of God is outlawed, this should not stop us. Daniel was prepared to go to the lion's den and lose his life rather than give up his prayer and worship of God Almighty. Daniel 7 and 8 showed us that God's plan for his people would come through history. But Daniel chapter 9 is an excellent chapter. It shows us the importance of praying for each other and for all of God's people. And then 10 and 11 and 12, we've seen that Daniel has showed us some of the future things for his time of kings and kingdoms, wars and tribulation. But most importantly, it's shown us who brings deliverance. We've seen that in chapter 11, but today specifically in chapter 12, it is those who are in Christ Jesus that will see deliverance. So Daniel has spent his entire life living for God in a hostile world. He's never once compromised his faith. He's shown us what it's like to live faithfully for God in a hostile world. But again, he's most importantly pointed us to the one who will deliver us from trouble and hostility, and the one who will bring about his kingdom into eternity and restore this earth. That is Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed our time in Daniel. It's been, as I said, a hard slog for the last couple of chapters. But Daniel is an encouraging book. How to live faithfully in a hostile world. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for examples of faithfulness, like Daniel, like Moses and Abraham, like others throughout the Old Testament. People who lived faithfully for you in challenging circumstances, people who lived faithfully for you in easy circumstances. Lord, we thank you for the examples that they set, but also for the way in which they point us to you, for the one who is completely faithful with every aspect of your life, for the one who was willing to go to the cross, to lay down his life for showing faithfulness to God. Completely. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the future that is ours in his name, for everlasting life, for everlasting peace and forgiveness, everything made right. Help us, Lord, to share our faith with those around us. Help us to live faithfully for you while we live in this world that is hostile toward you. Help us to be salt and light. Help us to be a light on the hill. Help us to be all the things that you desire us to be, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Aaron up now to lead us through a time of communion. And I'll